Okay, hello everyone. Thank you all for showing up, especially our friends. Thanks for the support. We see you. So for those of you who don't know, Group Chat is a podcast that Dee and I started. We've both kind of been in this industry for a very long time, him longer than I. We'll tell you a little bit about that. But it's our chance to sit down every week. We were doing it anyway in our office at each other's houses. We sit down once a week. We talk about what's going on in the news, the industry, culture, music, all the above. And we try to give kind of a informed mixed with slightly funny take.
Yeah.
Luckily, we have a decent amount of knowledge on these topics. And sometimes we just talk shit about Donald Trump, right? So it's a little bit all the above. As far as myself, I started a brand called Young and Reckless about 10 years ago with Dee. I now do a podcast called Short Story Long. I do this podcast / video series with Dee. I did about 9 years as a reality TV star, which I'm glad is over. And now I'm just a YouTube star with a clothing brand. So that's sort of my history. Dee will give you his.
Hello, everyone. So I started actually at this show like nearly 15 years ago, started a brand called 5-4 that's like evolved from a traditional brand to now one of the largest direct-to-consumer men's brands in the world. And this was just kind of our opportunity to talk about the industry because I feel like we have a lot of insightful stuff. We've done a number of brands, a number of investments, number of different things. So this is our chance to just kind of share all the inside knowledge that we've gained being in the apparel business all these years.
Great. Okay, first topic, Dee.
Yes.
Flight Club
and
GOAT have merged.
Yes.
So for people who don't know what those two businesses are, they're both resellers?
Yeah, they're both marketplaces for sneaker resellers.
Got it. And why did they merge?
So
do you have inside info on this?
Well, look, the guy that started Flight Club, Demaney, is a very close friend for many years, and he's been around 12 years. He's kind of been the leader of Flight Club, of the reselling industry for so long.
Got it.
And I remember the day GOAT came out, and I was like, oh, what do you think? I sent him the link. And he's like, it's pretty interesting. I mean, they're still small.
How long ago was that?
2015, I think.
Okay.
And I think within 2 years, they're now the leader in the space. And they're backed by a venture capitalist firm called Upfront Ventures that gave them a lot of money to kind of prove out the model, and they proved it out. And then recently, Flight Club was looking to kind of evolve their business from a technology perspective.
Yeah.
So they start looking at, do we raise money? Do we sell the business? Do we partner with people?
Yeah.
And they ended up in a conversation with GOAT. And they raised a bunch more money, $60 million, from another VC called Index Ventures. And now they're this behemoth in the sneaker reselling business, which I honestly think is going to change footwear retail forever.
What do you think the biggest impact will be?
So Nike and Adidas hate resellers.
Yeah.
Right?
How are they not able? There's nothing they can do to stop it. Like kind of how the art industry tries to crack down. Like there's nothing you can do.
All you can do is price Yeezys at $500.
Yeah.
Right? Which sucks for the consumer. So I don't think that's fair.
Okay.
So I think what's really going to happen is if I've talked to Demaney about this many times. He says eventually the reseller and the retailer needs to become one.
Yeah.
So like you should be able to walk into the mall and buy resale shoes and buy regular price shoes.
Yeah.
But Nike and Adidas don't want that.
Yeah. So they would kill their account. If somebody tried to be reselling at their account, they would kill it.
Yes.
Okay.
And but Flight Club now is starting to get accounts. They're not getting the best stuff yet.
Yeah.
But they're starting to get accounts. And I think that's the real challenge is, like, how do you evolve? Because if you're in the sneaker industry or a retailer in sneaker industry, like a lot of people here are, working with Nike is a nightmare.
Yeah.
A complete nightmare. Like, they hold every account to a certain standard that's not realistic to scale your business.
Yeah.
Which is why so many retailers have struggled. Like, Chic Shoes recently went out of business. Why did they go out of business? They owed Nike. It was public, $17 million.
Yeah.
You can't owe that kind of money and still, and the brand isn't willing to play with you.
Yeah.
And
that's
really the challenge. Like, I think if they don't start evolving these brands, then I think the resellers, GOAT and Flight Club, let's say this year they do $500 million in their marketplace, that's going to change the industry. Now they're a very powerful player in retail that they can put pressure on Nike and Adidas.
Yeah. And what do they do now? Do they go open a bunch more locations or what's the first move for them?
I mean, I think the sourcing of product is going to be the biggest reason why GOAT can scale or not. Right now, it's obviously relying on individuals to upload their shoes and sell the product, right? Yep. Flight Club has this huge network of retailers all over the country, resellers all over the world that are selling their product. Flight Club's global. GOAT's going to get there.
Yep.
I actually think there's a bigger opportunity in apparel. Like, Supreme reselling is probably as big as Nike, Jordan.
Is there a Flight Club for that? Is there a store that does reselling?
There's a lot of little stores, but there's no one major.
Yep.
Like, you know, online is probably like Grailed or eBay or places like that. But, there isn't a home, like, at the same scale as GOAT and Flight Club for apparel. So I think that's a huge opportunity.
Okay, so similar news.
Yeah.
LVMH bought into Stadium Goods.
Yeah, they made a minority investment.
And you don't know that dollar amount.
They haven't shared that dollar amount. But that's such a big... This industry is changing so fast. The fact that, like, a billion-dollar VC firm, LVMH, just took stakes in the footwear reselling business...
Yeah. That seems so crazy.
Yeah, that means the money is so big, the opportunity is so big...
Yeah.
...that these guys are finally now realizing the potential of this market. I mean, I think the bigger news is Carlyle giving Supreme $500 million.
Yeah. Do you think that caused all of this action that's going on right now?
I think it gave everyone else. I've met with a lot of the strategic retailers and venture capitalists and private equity investors in the space.
Yeah.
They're afraid. They're scared. They're scared to be the first. No one wants to be the first.
Yeah.
Carlyle had big balls. Wrote a $500 million check.
Yeah.
And now changed the landscape.
But there's no other thing like Supreme. You know, like, I don't know if these bankers know that Supreme is, like, an anomaly.
No, they don't.
And so they think, like, oh, well, this is probably similar, or this looks similar on Instagram.
But you would think that there's, like, there's not only one Chanel, there's also a Gucci, a Dior. So imagine there's all these brands to support the ecosystem. Like, think about how many more brands need to evolve to bigger businesses. We're still, like, in the early stages of luxury streetwear. It's like a five-year-old industry.
Like, who do you think's next? Like, Palace is kind of like that.
I feel like if I were to pick three brands, retailers, that should get either major investment or bought, it should be Palace.
Yeah.
Because it's on the same trajectory.
Yeah.
Off-White.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason why LVMH or the Gucci group don't make an investment or just buy the brand.
Yeah. We should ask Virgil after this if there's any emails being sent back and forth.
And then finally, I think Kith. Like, Kith is like... what Foot Locker would die to be.
Yeah.
Right. It's an incredible experience, incredible merchandising, amazing private label brand.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so many people doing it better than, like, the big players.
Yeah.
So you figure they have to kind of, someone needs to either continue to support these brands and these retailers.
Yeah.
And that's what these Carlyle and Index are doing. So it's pretty exciting.
So let me ask you this, because I love to ask this question. If I'm a young person that loves streetwear, that's trying to figure out what to do with my life, should I start a sneaker reselling? Like, do you think that this is something that will continue on for a long time and there'll be money? Is this a sign that this is a big industry for a long time?
Yeah, I think it's just in the early stages. Like, I meet young sneaker reseller and apparel resellers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like drug dealing when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Like, these guys have so much cash, so much money.
Yeah.
They're popping all the bottles at the clubs. And I'd be like, are these guys drug dealers? He's like, no, they're sneaker resellers.
That's so weird.
I mean, that means the business is huge.
Yep.
And it's still, like, if you can get the product, there's a demand for it globally, right?
So, yeah, so you should definitely look into it.
Yes.
If you're a little Billy in Idaho.
Yes. If you can resell Supreme, Yeezys, and Off-White Jordans, why not?
I wonder what Ben's doing. Remember Ben from DJ Khaled's Instagram? That's his name, right?
Yeah, I saw him with a really big diamond chain, so I think he's doing good.
He's doing well.
Yeah.
Okay, great. okay, different topic. Huge news. We talked about this on the flight here. Amazon is going to start shipping service like FedEx, like UPS. You'll be able to ship your items through Amazon's service.
Yes.
That seems... insane. I feel like Jeff Bezos is going to single-handedly take over the world, which I'm not mad at.
Yeah.
But what does that mean to you? Is that good or bad?
So I was thinking about that a lot because last year, 5-4 shipped over 1 million packages.
Yeah.
And we use FedEx.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an enormous control over our business because they literally just send a note at the end of every year, we're raising your prices. Yeah. For what?
Yeah.
Gas prices are down.
They can. Yeah. They can,
and you have no negotiating power.
Yeah.
And so we would go to UPS, shop it, and it's not that much better. So we're talking about a million packages. A 50-cent increase is $500,000 to our bottom line.
Yeah.
So then I start thinking Amazon's going to come in and undercut everybody, which is amazing.
That's great for us.
Great for us right now.
And that's what they do, right? Isn't that just kind of their thing?
Yeah. The problem I have with it, and this is why I'm so nervous about Amazon in the future, is they have too much data and they don't have to make money, right? So they have, this is where I think, like, when you think about, if you read like history of finance and you look at like oil companies and like the early industrial revolution, they all got broken up because they were monopolies.
Yeah.
They were the supplier, they were the retailer, they were the refiner.
Yeah.
And Amazon now is gonna control the shipping, they're gonna make the t-shirt, they're gonna sell the t-shirt.
Yeah.
And by the way, they don't have to do it at a profit, which is a scary, scary sign for people like us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, shorter term, I love the pricing power that we're gonna get from it. Longer term, my concern is it's a monopoly.
Yeah.
And because of their AWS, which is their hosting business, that prints cash, they can just lose money selling products to all of us.
Yeah.
Like, I saw another article about Amazon Go, the retail concept where you just walk in, you don't have to pay for anything.
Yeah, like, what's up with that? Is that going to become real?
Yeah, so it's in Seattle. They're beta testing it.
Okay.
And so they're going to start rolling those out, right? Here we go. Another retailer that doesn't have to make money.
Yeah.
That's unfair to a grocery store or a pharmacy that has to compete with that industry. So it's like, I just think that, like, it's amazing short term to get that pricing benefit. Longer term, I'm terrified of the monopoly. Because think about it, like, I don't sell any of our brands on Amazon.
Yeah.
Because, okay, let's say we're selling these sneakers for $99. If it starts selling well,
just
make
it. Yeah.
Like,
that's scary.
Yeah. I mean, like, Nike just hooked up with Amazon. Like, you're giving Amazon so much data on your entire business.
Yeah.
That eventually, if they want to enter the sneaker business, they can. They're entering pharmacy and groceries. The sneaker business is the easiest business.
Yeah, but don't you think that the only thing that is not, that you can't replicate or copy is brand, right? Like, Amazon still would have a really hard time. They would have to go get a Virgil.
Yeah.
Like, they would need someone with a brand.
Go get Virgil.
Yeah. We should also ask him about that.
Why not give him $100 million a year?
Sure.
And then he can sell $19 sneakers and no one else is in business.
Yeah. That's scary. Do you think that the government at any time comes in and tells them they can't?
I actually think the one thing Donald Trump will do if he's still president is try to break up Amazon.
Is Jeff Bezos on any of Trump's advisory weird things?
No, I don't think he ever joined any of that. And I think he's generally, like, he's stayed away from him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that could come back to hurt him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's an exciting one. It just seems scary.
Yeah.
And Jeff Bezos looks kind of scary now.
Especially with the Terminator.
He looks like a Terminator.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, man. I feel like he could really be in charge of the whole world. He could just be president. And, you know, he could be the next president.
They said he could fund, like, if the government shut down, he can fund the government for, like, 5 days.
Oh, man. okay. Moving on. Elon Musk had a big week.
Yeah.
He launched a rocket. Can you tell me why? Is this because it was the most powerful unmanned rocket? Is that why it was such big news? Or just because Elon Musk is so cool?
I think it's a combination. You know what's crazy is SpaceX launched the rocket.
Yeah.
Not Elon Musk.
No.
But
Elon Musk.
That's why I thought it was super relevant to, like, being here. Because we're all founders or striving to be founders.
Yeah.
And no one refers to Tesla or SpaceX.
No.
They refer to Elon Musk launched a rocket and put his car into space.
Yeah, but he's Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
It's like saying Steve Jobs released a new iPhone.
Yeah.
You know? Elon Musk launched a rocket into the
thing. To me, that was like, I used that example in a marketing meeting recently where I was like, this is exactly the type of stuff we need to be doing as a company.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm definitely not Elon Musk. I can't launch anything but a pencil across the room. But the idea of creating a moment where everyone's talking about your business and has nothing to do with your business, right? Because everyone was Instagramming a Tesla, like, overshooting orbit.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
But he did it. He strapped a Tesla Roadster to the rocket.
Yeah.
And then was that photo real where it was, like, the guy in the Roadster
it was
and
robot.
The Earth was in the background?
I mean, obviously, anything, people don't believe a man was on the moon, but I mean, I'm pretty sure it was real.
Oh, man. That's just the epitome of why I think another thing I would tell every young person starting a brand is that you have to be or have the face of the brand.
Yes.
And that's the epitome of why, right? Yeah. Because like the power of being able to relate, it's like what you were saying, but being able to relate one man to being like the modern day Iron Man,
yeah,
and launching rockets and doing all these things makes it so much more powerful.
Yeah, and I think like what Elon Musk does is relevant to even in fashion, because like when you look at all the people wearing all the brands here today, they're like, they're wearing Yeezys because of Kanye.
Yeah.
They're wearing Off-White because of Virgil.
They're wearing God
because of Jerry.
Yeah.
They're wearing all these brands because they love the designer.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk is just the front of these two incredible brands that is like changing the way we like transport each other, which is pretty insane.
Yeah, he's a superhero.
He is. He's a modern day superhero.
Do you want to talk about this Balenciaga? We have some time.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me what this is. Balenciaga released a new shoe.
So they have their like dad sneakers that they've been releasing, and
the ones that look like the Kanye Adidas and that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like an $850 sneaker.
Yep, seems about right.
And it was shown that it was made in China.
Where did it say that? On the shoe?
So I read it on like a manufacturing newsletter I'm on.
Okay.
For people that talk about the manufacturing industry in China.
Yep.
And so it became a whole thing on like, do the Chinese consumers appreciate that it was made in China versus Italy?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've been to China many times. I've seen many factories in China.
Yeah.
They are light years ahead of anything happening in Italy, America, and Mexico.
Yeah.
And so I understand from a perception standpoint, like you want this like amazing old man that has handcrafted Italian shoes his entire life, weaving every last thread through your shoe.
Yep.
But in China, they have robots cutting leather that is so precise that this shoe, I'll show you this shoe. This shoe is an all-white New Republic sneaker that we sell for $99. It is exactly like the Common Project sneaker that you'll see at Nordstrom, Barney's, whatever.
How much is that one?
At
300?
400 plus.
Okay.
Our shoe is exactly the same. It's made in China.
Yep.
And
you cannot spot the difference is what you're saying.
This might be better.
Okay. So the China Balenciaga for $850 doesn't bother you?
It bothers me that it's $850.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me that it's made in China.
Got
because
it.
I know the best product in the world is made in China right now.
Yeah.
Your iPhone is made in China.
Yeah.
I mean, like everything, it's just, there's so much great things happening in the manufacturing industry in China that like people look down upon it and they're like, oh, it has to be made in LA. A factory in LA is disgusting. It's so disgusting. I wouldn't even eat lunch near it. It's so disgusting. And so when you go to China, you have to wear, like in our shoe factory, when you walk in, you have to wear a white...
like a surgical...
Surgical thing, because they don't want dust, because Uniqlo makes stuff there, and they don't allow dust in the factory.
Yeah. Yep, I get it. Do you think it will affect the shoe? Do you think anyone gives a single crap?
No. I don't think so.
So it's just a little bit of news. We'll talk about it on things like this.
I just think Balenciaga has a lot higher gross margins this year.
Yeah. That's big.
Yeah.
Okay, we have our last topic.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else that we're missing? We're a little early.
Yeah, we could keep talking. Well, I want to go on to this next topic before we go on to something else. Go on to the happy ending.
Okay, so the happy ending.
I think it's super important for
because
this
because we're meeting. In Vegas.
Yeah.
We need to talk about it. Sometimes we like to talk about less serious topics. Well, I guess it is serious, but...
Yeah.
Steve Wynn. Steve Wynn.
Yes.
You got an update. He stepped down last week.
Yeah. Which we predicted.
I think you could kind of predict, though. Once the things started to roll out, you kind of see, like, you have no choice.
Yeah.
But what was the big news that you discovered over the weekend?
So, there's a lot of Steve Wynn issues I have. Obviously, the way he ran the business is kind of embarrassing. This is just a founder 101 if you're starting a business. Do not have a massage table in your office.
Yeah.
That is not a good way.
That seems
if you
very
have a
Vegas,
massage
though.
Table in your office,
yeah.
You should resign right now.
It's you might as well just get a head start and resign.
Yes,
just look
just
around
give up
your
right
office.
Now.
If there is a massage table or any oils or a robe, call it in.
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy because like we're founders of business, and we like to have fun in our company, and we're in like a pretty reckless industry. I mean, no pun intended.
Hey, young and reckless.
And like, I just can't fathom the way some of the CEOs and founders are coming down, and like, what reality do they live in? I guess Steve Wynn kind of came in a different era.
He sure did. And Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just a different thing. But it just so happened that the time caught up to him where you can't be getting rubbed down in your office anymore.
Well, previously, it was okay.
It was not okay. But it was sort of, he just got away with it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably has been getting away with that for so long. Like, it didn't even dawn on him, probably, when all of this news was coming out, that he had maybe done something wrong ever. I don't think.
I mean, he wrote a $7.5 million check to that woman.
Yes, because you have to.
That's just what it is.
Yeah, that's just like, talk to your lawyer. What should I do? $7.5 million? You think, okay. No more massages. You know, I don't know. I just think that he was so used to that.
Yeah.
That it just was the norm for him. And he didn't see it any other way.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, like, obviously we have a lot of friends who work in Vegas, and like, to see if the culture of Vegas will change.
What I'm curious too, because part of me thinks that they'll just sort of hide it better, or just let it blow over, or, you know what I'm saying? I just don't know. I think that guys, rich, old, powerful dudes have been creepy for so long.
Yeah.
That like, oh, asking them to change is like...
That's why, like, I just think all the massage table office guys, they all gotta just go away right now.
They won't, though. They don't know they're massage guys.
They know. They walked in with
the
rope.
No, they think they're normal. Like, they're like, oh, Steve, Steve's crazy, but we don't do that here.
Yeah. And
Stephanie, rub me down. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, man, it's so normal for these old guys. They don't...
I don't know. I mean...
We'll see. I think the new... Unfortunately, I think it will clean up a little bit. I think the news cycle will pass, and I think the creepiness will continue. At a lesser rate.
Yeah.
And it'll take years of these sort of things, of these sort of news coverages to eventually... I think eventually it does change.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't think this is like humankind forever, but I don't think it's as easy as like a
hot news cycle. Yeah, I hope it's not humankind forever. That's a scary thought. And especially like we're in apparel. We're in a pretty like sexually charged industry. So I'm curious. Shockingly, there hasn't been a lot of apparel, right?
I feel like it's old news in apparel. It's like Dove from American Apparel.
Yeah, I saw Paul Marciano and Kate Upton.
Yep, Terry Richardson. I feel like people have been creepy in clothing for so long.
Yeah, but like, you know, they just expect it.
Yeah, like, oh, the clothing guys are creepy? No crap.
Yeah, it's going to be weird when like CES here is creep. Like those guys get taken down.
How come like, where's Evan Spiegel going to get his? Like, when are some of these dorks going to get caught?
I don't think they did anything.
You don't think the dorks are creepy?
Not at all.
I think the dorks are
creepy. I've been around them. They're not creepy at all.
Let me just say my forecast, the dorks are creepy and a dork will get caught. The dorks are very aggressive. The nerds are creepy, man. The nerds are doing everything that the rich old white dudes are doing. They're just not caught yet.
They're creepy in their room though.
Nope. Yeah, with some innocent intern. Hey, just saying, it's my.
I was a nerd my whole life. I didn't even have the balls to be creepy.
It's different. You weren't a filthy, filthy, rich billionaire nerd.
Yes, I was a
if
broke.
If you were a billionaire, you would
have
been
creepy. I was a broke, fat Indian nerd.
If you had $1 billion, you would have been creepy.
Yeah.
Anything else? Should we do it? Should we do questions?
We could talk. Does anyone have any questions? We'd like to keep it super casual.
Anyone?
Yeah.
So you said earlier about SpaceX launch. Like, what was the point? Clearly, the point was launching a rocket that comes back to Earth, just to clarify. So
Thank you.
Talk about the founder being the face, I would argue that is maybe the opposite of an example.
Okay.
Because even if Elon Musk wasn't there, maybe they wouldn't be doing the same. But the point is the technology.
Yeah.
So when you look at brands that are like, oh, everybody loves Kanye because they love Kanye, versus, well, people that love Dolce & Gabbana love it because it's Dolce & Gabbana, and they don't even know who the founder is.
Yeah.
What do you argue to that?
So I think the world has changed, and we live in a market where like founders are driving more of the conversation than in the past. So when I started my business, no one knew who my partner and I were till they still don't know who my partner and I are. Like nobody knows who we are, right? Oh, because he used to work for me. And, but like no one knew who we were, and it didn't matter. We just made good product, and that was what it's about. I think in today's day and age, like, the excitement of a human being doing something special, it puts more attention on it, right? Like, if If Elon Musk wasn't the face of SpaceX and Tesla, I don't think it would have gotten the attention it deserves. But because he's that like superhuman character, I think more people are paying attention to it. Because part of the reason is in my view, today's marketplace to market brands is so hard, right? Like, we spend money on Facebook, people go to trade shows, they buy ads on TV, radio, podcasts, whatever, right? But at the end of the day, that's such an inefficient way to spend. Elon Musk can go on Instagram, post, this is what I'm doing, and the world paid attention. And it was free to him to do that. But the baseline is you have to have an incredible product, incredible ticket. I agree with you on that. You can't have a crappy product and do it, but yeah, exactly. But the end of the day is we've had an incredible product and price point for 15 years, but nobody paid attention until we innovated our model. And now I have to get out there and explain to people what we're doing because, frankly, we don't get the love we deserve for how big of a business we've built. And I look at Elon Musk and I'm like, here's a guy that's financially, Tesla is like an ugly financial space right now, but people believe blind faith in Elon Musk that he will figure it out. He gets a pass that I would never get. If my financials look like that, we'd be lights out. We have to make money. That's what the comparison is. It's not about the...
I also think, too, there's not one rule. There's never one rule. Like, if there's not a celebrity face of the brand, it will no longer work. That's not the rule. But I think more and more people are becoming used to being able to connect to humans, right? So brands used to be... They used to have a way stronger voice way more easily because you didn't... They were curating all this information for you. They were telling you what's cool. They were telling you what Kanye was wearing. They were telling you what music to listen to. Now people are so used to going directly to Kanye or directly to the humans that if you can say Elon Musk launched a rocket, it's so much easier to relate than saying SpaceX launched a rocket, right? And I think that that's why you're noticing all this extreme power with people that are the faces of brands because they're able to say D launched a new jacket this year. Elon Musk launched a blah, blah, blah. Steve Jobs launched an iPhone. I think that it's becoming more valuable than ever to have a relatable face because of the way that social media and everything's changing. It's definitely not the only rule, though, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, but I agree. The baseline of the technology or the product has to be incredible.
Any more?
Anybody else? Yeah.
Hey, what's up? I listened to your podcast a bit, and I saw the Movement guys on there, Jake and Kramer.
Yeah.
And, like, they crushed it just by creating a, you know, direct-to-consumer brand and cutting out the retailers. And you go to a show like this, and there's so many retailers where even the retailers, like, I do a lot of manufacturing in China through my company called Sourcify, and we work with so many retailers that go private label and cut out the brands, and the brands are also trying to cut out the retailers. What's the future of that dynamic for these brands and retailers?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, it's all direct to consumer. You know, I just think that like what the Movement guys, so for those of you who don't know, Movement is a watch company. They do, how much are their watches?
They're like $100 watches.
So $100 watches, they look really nice. They market them really, really nice. Really big on social media, do a really good job at e-com, and they're crushing. I mean, I think they did $80 million last year or something. I mean, they're killing it. But obviously that comes with a lot of its own problems and there's a lot of headaches with scaling and being profitable and all that stuff. But I do think that, you know, the quick version of it is every brand goes super, super e-com on their own e-com. And I think that retail scales way down to way less than what it is now, 10%. And I think retail is way more experiential and you walk in there to get a little piece of what the brand stands for. You still like to be out of your house. You still want to soak it in, but maybe you're leading people to still buy off the site or whatever. I just think we can't say it enough how much e-com is.
Yeah.
Yeah, pop-up shops, all that stuff is great. I think it's good to like, people still want to touch stuff and feel stuff. I mean, I don't think everyone yet is just going to sit at home with their, I don't think yet everyone's going to sit at home in their bubble with their VR headphones on and order everything, but it's getting there. You know, I think, that's what it looks like.
I have a much harsher take. I think most retailers, I'm talking about larger retailers, are so clueless on what's going on that if they don't change or acquire businesses or go out of business quickly, it's going to be really, really scary. And I think the reality is that if you went to ComplexCon this year, you saw the future. And that's like brands talking to the customers directly. I'm still like I'm in awe of ComplexCon. Like, I've never, I started doing magic in 2002 when it was a million square feet and it was the craziest, wildest thing I've ever seen in my life with buyers, and business was out of control strong. And ComplexCon was the first time I saw, I was like, holy crap, it's coming back. And I like that the brands can talk to the consumers directly. The retailers just need to evolve. Like, we still do business with Young and Reckless with a lot of big retailers. And I'll to be honest, PacSun is the only one that's like forward progressive thinking and the way we do business with them. The rest, we struggle with. And like, if you look at a department store model, like they essentially sell product at an off-price price point, but turn at a clip substantially lower than a full price, like an off-price retail. Ross and TJ Maxx will sell a Young and Reckless t-shirt almost at the same price as Macy's, but Ross will turn all the inventory in 2 weeks, and Macy's will turn the inventory in 16 weeks. So there you go, like the math is effed. Like, it doesn't make sense. So I think, like, as you see, like, these shows evolve, like, I'm excited to see what Agenda looks like a year from now and 6 months from now and see how they evolve, because the brands are still very important. A lot of people love all these brands. They just have to let all the customers in here now, like ComplexCon.
We got time for one more if anyone else has anything. Or we can wrap it up. All right, let's wrap it up.
Or we keep talking.
You got any more topics?
Yeah.
What do you got?
I'm curious to hear, what podcast do you listen to? Because I think a lot of people here listen to podcasts, and I like Joe Budden. That's like a popular podcast.
It's so crazy to me that you listen to Joe Budden's podcast.
I know, it's funny.
Why that one of all ones? Do you listen to Charlemagne? And
I like Breakfast Club.
What about Brilliant Idiots?
No, never heard of it.
Well, you should look into it.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
What do you listen to?
I listen to Joe Rogan.
Yep.
Pod Save America.
Okay.
And then NPR does a really good one called How I Built This.
Okay.
Similar to mine, which I was a little salty.
Yeah.
But they do a really good job.
Okay.
That's about it.
And then this guy, when I met him, I gave him, I used to give him books as gifts. Like, I gave him
But you don't read them, right?
What?
You don't even read them.
I used to read them.
Okay.
I stopped reading. I think it's a waste of time.
Okay.
But
probably one of the biggest not waste of time, just
so
for the record.
So now this guy reads probably what, a book or two a week?
A book a week.
What's the best book you've read so far this year? That you recommend?
It's called The Power of Intention by Wayne Dyer.
Dyer?
Dyer. Yeah, really good. That obviously wasn't that good. No, yeah.
And what is it about? Dyer. Is it like a...
It's a little out there. Like, yeah. It's a little, but
he's
it's
a little
about
culty
like,
guy.
He's a little culty, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's about like setting your intentions and kind of knowing what your purpose for every action is, and therefore, you know, every action has a reaction, right? Mm-hmm. So if you set your intention for every action that you do, this chat, for every podcast, for every meeting you have, for every everything, you can't help by taking part in the action. You can't help but take part in the reaction.
Got it.
Same way, if you do something negative to someone, you do something to spite someone, you're also going to take part in that reaction. So I'm big on that stuff.
Okay. Yeah. The other thing I think would be really helpful to share, because I'm still fascinated by this.
Yep.
Someone asked me the other day, like, what are some habits you have? I don't have any habits. Like, I wake up, I kind of run.
Yeah.
I mean, except for drinking, I don't really have a habit.
Yeah.
And so...
No positive habits.
I don't have any positive habits.
Yeah.
You, on the other hand, have a lot of interesting positive habits.
Yeah.
The one that I'm still the most fascinated by, which I think... I actually think it's really helpful to share with people, because you're going to go meet like 1,000 people this week.
Yep.
Please explain your phone system. So this guy has a phone system.
With the emojis?
I'm still blown away by this.
Okay.
So...
This is a big one.
One day I'm looking at his phone. You know, we hang out every weekend. And I see like emojis next to everybody's name. So next to my name was, this was a few years ago, money bag sign.
Yep.
Thumbs
up.
Like a salsa girl.
Salsa girl.
And
thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
So that meant.
Okay, here's the system.
Okay.
Let me tell you the system. So I'm sure everyone here has a lot of people's names and numbers in their phone, right? Everyone's busy. Everyone's hustling. Everyone's trying to figure out how to be the most effective, right? So that's why I always try to figure out. So what I came up with one day is, if you go through everyone's number in your phone and you sort them, this is going to sound messed up, but I swear it's not. by how they fit into your life, right? Then, so what I do is all of my friends, real life friends, have thumbs up emojis. Everyone that is like a party person, maybe it's girls, maybe it's club promoters, maybe it's whatever, they have like the dancing girl. For the record, you didn't have the dancing girl, you had a bottle popping.
Oh, I had a bottle popping. Yeah.
So people to invite to events that we do have a bottle popping. People that I want to send promo boxes to and keep on our gift list have a gift box, right? So depending on who you are, I put the corresponding emojis next to their name. Then, when an event is coming up and I need to know who to invite, all I have to do in my phone book is type in the bottle popping and everyone with that comes up, right? Or if I'm going out and want to invite girls, you just type in the girl thing, there they all are. Anyone that I do business with, anyone that I should just check in on, maybe there's friends and I haven't talked to my friends, you know, I want to make sure I'm being a good friend. You type in the thumbs up, all of your friends come up, you make sure that you check in with everyone. So I know everyone here probably struggles with, oh, we don't have enough time to be a good friend, to be a good family member, be a good, build our network. That's an easy way that I have. But my phone looks like a phone of a 16-year-old girl because my phone book is just emojis.
And I used to have the most emojis and I got booted.
He got booted. So he had the invite to partying emoji, but then he had a baby. And so
I'm booted.
He's booted. He's in bed by 10 p.m. every night.
So I went through his phone to wanted to see who had the most emojis. Post Malone.
Post Malone. Yep. Friend, party, send him boxes. Music industry.
Yeah.
I forget what else.
Maybe Diddy.
Diddy had a lot too, but
yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So that's the system. Everyone should apply it. It really works. It's really simple.
It's a really awesome system.
It's sort of silly, but it's one of the best. And also it trains you so that when a notification pops up on your phone, you automatically kind of know like how important it is, right? Or you know if this is a family member, a friend. Like my brain kind of naturally reacts now to seeing these emojis. So if I'm in a meeting and something pops up, I know like, oh, this is really important, or oh, this can wait or whatever. But really easy system to help simplify things.
Cool.
We did it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.